Well, hello, good morning. Welcome to our talk now and our theme. And our theme is getting fit as a family. Now, this morning, I have with me my dear wife.
Hi there.
And would you like to say a bit about yourself, dear?
I'm Chris. We've been married 44 years. I was single for 8 years. Well, away from the family for 8 years before I got married. And yeah.
Yep.
Okay. That's me.
And Garton and Mavis, introduce yourselves, please, for us.
Hi, so my name's Mavis Jones, and we have been married for 22 years. And I work in human resources, and I got married in my mid 30s. So I had been working and suffering under a mortgage before I got married.
I'm Carlton. I'm now retired, so I spent most of my life in the building industry. Last 30 years working for myself as a building surveyor.
Okay, thank you very much. And I'm Derek Harthill, and I'm also retired as well, but spent 30 odd years in the NHS as a medical engineering technician and then a manager. But I was just a mere humble technician when I married Chris, and you were a qualified teacher had been for several years, hadn't you?
Yeah.
Okay. So today's theme is getting fit as a family. And we're going to read our text, which will be Colossians chapter 3. Verses 18 to 21, and it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be bitter towards them. Children, obey your parents, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." So we're going to take the verses in the order. So first, we're going to be looking at verse number 18, which is, "Wives, submit to your own husbands, as is fitting in the Lord." And it's rather interesting, this section, isn't it, is that we have particular instructions to particular members in the family. Thinking particularly that Paul, when he was writing advice to married couples in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he dealt with a couple of subjects there. He dealt about with authority. Who has authority over your body and as a married person? And also he dealt with the issue of what if one of you, when you're married, doesn't have faith, and that maybe affects your marriage situation. What do you do? Well, Paul, in that whole of that chapter, when addressing about the various intricacies of those two topics, he gave exactly the same instructions to both the man and the woman. But in this case, he doesn't. So we're going to be looking at the where and the why of that. But first, I'd like Mavis to tell us about a piece of scripture that Paul would have been very familiar with, wouldn't he, Mavis?
Yeah, so this is Proverbs 31. And, you know, I know that all scripture is God-breathed, and God knows exactly why he's put all of this scripture together. But, you know, as a woman, just thinking, really, do you really want me to operate like this? It's a real challenge, but I think it's also a real blessing, this scripture, and it really helps us to understand, I think, how God understands women, really, and particularly the wife. So that the whole of the chunk is Proverbs 31, 10 to 31, but I'm just going to read some verses from that. So starting with verse 15. So I'm reading from the New King James Version. So it says, verse 15 says, "So she also rises while it is yet night, and provides food for her household and a portion of her maidservants." So if you were going to be thinking about that, you know, I suppose a modern way, you say that, you know, she's hardworking, there's no lack of grain at all in their home. Let's look at verse 16. So in the Bible, it says, "She considers a field and buys it from her profits, and she plants a vineyard." So here we've got somebody who is entrepreneurial. She's buying land, she's investing, she's acquiring property. And then in verse 24, it says, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for merchants. So here we've got, again, more entrepreneurial, manufacturing, selling things. And verse 26 says, she opens her mouth with wisdom and on her tongue is the law of kindness. So she speaks wisely, she's strong and honourable. And let's see, verse 27 says, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. So again, she's there caring for her home. It sounds like she's a busy, involved woman, really. And I think that's it's a passage that I think she's an amazing woman. And, you know, I don't know that I measure up against her, actually. I know it's one of my husband's favourite passages.
My husband as well.
it was actually the text the preacher preached on at our wedding.
Oh, wow.
Was it? What indeed?
That sounds a bit fair to me. Well. I think it's a really good, I think what I like about it actually is about this woman is really at her best.
Yes.
You know, she is a very capable woman, isn't she? Mm. In terms of all the things that she's doing. And I think even though Paul's talked about wives being submissive to, you know, submit to your own husbands as is fitting to the Lord, it's not meant to be a negative thing at all.
No.
You know, he knows that still, even in submitting to your husband, actually you are still able to be all that God has called you to be, all that he's enabled you to be. So I think his call to wives to submit to your husbands is not at all meant to be a negative thing.
No.
For me, it was one of those things. It took me a while to understand what that meant as a single woman, to understand what it means to submit and what was God saying about that and to understand it. And when I understood that actually what God was saying is when you submit to your husband, you freely say, okay, you're the one whose God has given this responsibility and I'm happy to live under that. Actually, that is my freedom to be who I am. You know, that, you know, if I've got loads of gifts like this lady has, then actually that doesn't mean I lose any of those. It's the contrary. That actually I get the place to be all that I am. And I think that's what, you know, Proverbs 31 is saying. So Paul knew that. And I don't think he was taking anything away from wives when talking about submitting. It was about actually about your fullness and being fulfilled in that. In that context, and I think that's a really helpful thought, actually.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Carlton. I know you wanted to, when we were chatting earlier about this, you wanted to comment about the background to the whole book of Colossians, but in particular these verses, didn't you?
Yeah, I think this particular verse, if you go back, remember. Around about the time Proverbs was written, women had no authority, had no rights. And this particular scripture tells us there that the husband must be a very forward-thinking man because he saw the ability of the wife and he allowed her to fulfill that ability, to fulfill her strength. And I think because he knew in that ability, he's going to gain. And I like this because if you read the rest of it, he says, while she was doing all this, he was at the bottom of the gate playing cards or with the other men. Yeah. And I think I can picture myself doing this.
Yeah, that's why I'm still working and you're retired.
That's it. You didn't realise that was in his thinking.
No, it's a brilliant. I love that.
It's brilliant, isn't it? Yeah, and I think people like modern days that they talk about their daughters or the young women or the women being able to realise their skills and giftings.
That's right.
We've got it written there about 1,500 years ago in the Bible.
Yeah. And you know, it's what's come to mind is we do the One for Life course. So we're, you know, we're having couples together who are thinking about being married and all that marriage brings. And we did a course with one couple where one of the things that concerns the woman in that relationship was actually she felt she had seen women who, once they got married, they women who were gifted and talented, once they got married, she thought, well, I don't see that anymore. And it did concern her about getting married if actually it meant all of that was lost. And I think it was really good that we were able to say that's not what marriage is about. Mm-hmm. That actually within that covering that you get from your husband as the head, actually it's his responsibility to enable you and enable your gifts to come out. And I think that was really, really reassuring for her, actually. Mm-hmm. And this man here in Proverbs takes pride in it. So he's not kind of hiding away and, you know, and his wife's doing all this thing and it's quite shameful. Actually, he's quite, you know, well, look at my wife, you know, look what she can do. That, you know.
Yeah.
I think the whole theme of this, although we're going to talk about the individual's role, we must not get away from the fact that God, in the Word, it says men and women were born equal.
Yes.
None should dominate the other. And that goes through the whole Bible. And that goes with our skills, our abilities, everything. Mm. But within that marriage, we've got individual roles to play to make the marriage work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Chris, what do you make of this verse, wives submit to your husbands?
Well, when I got married, I actually chose to put the word obey in my vows. And when we were talking about our vows before we got married, Derek had actually said to me, I don't expect you to be respectful and given to him if I don't love you. And I realised we were going into marriage, it was all about attitudes, and that I was going into the marriage with the attitude of, well, I can't expect Derek to love me if I don't respect him and I don't honour him. It's a two-way thing, and it's our attitude. And the other thing I realised was that we have to be responsible for the attitude that we've got in our marriage. We're responsible for the way that we are, the way we treat each other and the way we do bring out the best in each other. We haven't got to go into our marriage thinking that we're going to judge each other, that we're going to accuse each other and blame each other, saying, well, if you weren't like that, I wouldn't be like this. But it was my responsibility to go into the marriage thinking, now, can I make this situation that we're in better? Am I living as God wants me to be? Have I got the right attitude in our marriage? Am I demanding? And that actually can be very, very hard. It's easy to blame the other person, just to react, to get offended. And it's not so easy to forgive, to understand each other, and we can easily criticise and harden our hearts. And we are responsible for the attitude that we have in our marriage, and we need God often to actually help us to be that person that he wants us to be.
Yeah, I absolutely freed Chris up when we were talking about marriage and our vows and that. I mean, I knew these verses were there, and I knew that she chose to use the word obey in our marriage vows. But I knew that instruction there in verse 18 was for her and for her to respond to. It wasn't for me to monitor or to police. Yeah. I had to look at the next verse that we'll come into a bit, where it talked about husbands. Yeah. And I think the secret in married life is you look to your responsibility and you trust God to work in your spouse, that they will fulfill their role And because they are on a journey, like you are on a journey. And we'll come into the men's responsibility in a bit. But we grew closer together as we attended to what we personally, each of us, had to do for our own responsibility. And my job, I will come on to a bit, was to be the man whom my wife could respect. Mm. And she was willing to respect me, even though I sometimes failed. I had to learn how to be the man that she needed. But she always respected me. And I admire what my wife for that. I admired her before I married her. She was the most gifted and kind person I had ever met. My wife doesn't tell you very much about her many skills, but she has many skills and she surpasses me intellectually, always has done in many ways. But and so to me, she's an absolute prized possession. And she's somebody who's fulfilled so many of her gifts and callings that God has put in her. And these are big verses. And some of the things we say about the one verse are going to apply to the other verse. But Carlton, you were telling me something about the Mediterranean culture, the Greek-Roman culture of the time, weren't you? Which gives a bit of a backdrop, I think, to these verses.
Well, if you look on start of Colossians chapter 1 and chapter 2, Paul was there. It seemed to be happening. The guys in the church in Colossians were mixing up different cultures and tried to appease different cultures. You had the Judaizers and you got the Greeks and all that. They were very strong religion and another books Paul wrote was saying the same thing. You've got to be step apart from these guys. Otherwise, remember, God is God, and God is the one and only God. All these others are images. And if you're going to be a Christian, you need to deny these other teachings in order to get to know the one and the one true God. So this is, if you read, this is the background and then what men and women were doing, the wives were doing. So Paul was reminding them in the start of chapter 3 that who they are now in Christ. And because he said, if you're now in Christ, this is what you need to do. And so therefore we come and give instructions then on how to live.
Yeah. And there were tensions in that culture as well, weren't there? Like we very often find tensions in modern day cultures that there was the worship of female goddesses,
yes,
which placed the female aspect or element of life in a very high position. Though contrasting that with the fact that very often legally women had little or no rights or protections, so yes, they found other ways of influence in society and influence in the family. You know, it was a bit of a tension between these two opposing, you would think opposing thoughts, but that were in the part of their society. But the Bible gives it. Oh, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, that what Paul was saying was actually quite radical, wasn't it?
Yes.
Think about that society and the way they had seen things and the place of women, that actually he was saying something that was totally different, where women might have been using ways to get ahead and to be seen as important and use their influence. Actually, his words were saying, actually, as wives, you need to submit to your husbands.
Yeah.
And that would have been alien, wouldn't it, to the society they were seeing and what was about. But they were, as Christians, he was saying, actually, this is different. You act differently. You're going to be doing something different. And I think as Chris was speaking earlier, the other thing I thought about was where he talks about that verse says, as is fitting in the Lord, you know, and Chris talked about, your attitude can be, it's meant to be loving and forgiving and wanting, and actually sometimes you actually need the Lord to help you do that.
Yeah.
You know, that's what he would have you do. That's how he would have you behave, and he can enable you to do that actually from understanding that society and then coming at it from that actually, yeah, how I'm going to be with you isn't okay. It's okay. Yeah. And that was a bit, but okay, now I can be forgiving and loving in the Lord.
That's right. That's powerful. Yeah. Working together to, if I attend to my business, my wife attends to her business.
Yeah.
Boy. Yeah. That's the way to go. And that's what the Bible tells us. And we're going to come to what's the men's business just now. I know at least half our congregation are waiting for this bit. Okay. But just to say, I will say about wife being obedient, this doesn't cover abuse.
No.
If a man is stepping outside the marriage contract and is abusing his wife, or wants her to participate in immorality, or even if the man is in a stage where his life, his mental capacities aren't what they should be, maybe because of age and a certain types of illness, or maybe because of medication he's taking, whether prescribed or unprescribed, then wives have to exercise wisdom. I just want to put that rider there because, you know, it's important. And that. But let's come to the men. Okay, so let's look at the what and the why of verse 19, where it says that husbands, love your wives, and do not be bitter towards them. Well, I feel, Carlton, you're the man to answer this question first, before I creep in.
I think, as we said, one of the reasons I believe Paul gave these instructions, and he said exactly the same thing in Ephesians. So I've always been taught if the Bible repeats itself, we must take note of what's happening. And as a husband, we're representing Christ. And also, it's important in representing Christ, we need to be Christ's ambassadors. Because we're not just in the home. What he's actually saying, the whole of the Colossians and the whole of the scripture, he says, we are representing Christ. Because Ephesians says, now we are in him. Mm. And now we're in him. I'm looking, just while we're talking, I was looking, it says, now we are in chapter 2, verse 6. It says, we have a new life in Christ. And he says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So it's crucial then that, first of all, the men need to be an example. Mm. And to take the example, because we are representing Christ in the household. And that's why he mentioned that we must love our wives as Christ loved the church. Because at the time, I believe this was radical, as we said before. This was, all of what's happening around them was not happening this way. So I said, if you are going to be my example to win people to Christ, you need to conduct yourself in this particular way. And as the head of the household, you need to lead by example. That's the main thing. How many men we know don't lead by example, but we expect the wife to be obedient? Well, that's not going to happen unless we are obedient to the word as well.
Yeah, when this verse, husbands, love your wives, do not be bitter towards them. I remember when I said my marriage vows that I would love and cherish and look after my wife. When I got married, I had to learn how to do that. I had to learn what being loved and what being cherished meant to my wife rather than what I thought it meant. And so I've had to work at it over the years, you know. Come my wife's birthday, surely one of the best gifts I could have ever given her was a season ticket down to the local football ground, where I would have just loved that.
Not Birmingham City.
Hey, Hey, let's not go down this road. But, you know, I would have loved that gift. My wife would have preferred something else, a cream tea out somewhere for the next 7 weeks. She would have loved that, you know.
Wimbledon tickets.
Or maybe. Wimbledon tickets, yes.
Now you're talking.
But my job was to love my wife the way that she felt loved. Not the way I perceived love, but the way that she felt love. And that's what I've been working at the whole of my married life. And now and again, I forget something and I apologise. And I go, okay. You would really want to watch that type of film rather than the film I would select. We're going to watch your type of film you like tonight. And next week, I'll watch one which I know she can like, but is maybe a bit more down my taste, for example. But loving your wife is knowing how they feel and receive love. And not to be bitter about it, just because it stops me sometimes doing things I would naturally like to do them. My wife gives me an amazing amount of space to be the person and man that I am. And I'm somebody who likes a lot of exercise. And she allows me time and space to do that. And I monitor that amount of time and space so it doesn't intrude upon her lifestyle too much or our family's lifestyle. And that, but my wife is really wonderful. And I'd just like to give you a quote. I think it's one of the best quotes about marriage, and I think it's very relevant to this section. And when talking about how Eve was created, here's a quote for you. See if you know who actually quoted this. It says, "The woman was made out of a rib, out of the side of Adam, not made out of his head to rule over him, nor out of his feet to be trampled upon him, but out of his side, to be equal with him, under his arm, to be protected, and near to his heart, to be beloved." Now, that quote is from somebody called Matthew Henry, who is a man who wrote a 6-volume commentary to the Bible, which is a standard. And when I read about this, I thought, Matthew Henry, he's very well known. He's not a 20th century or 21st or 20th century man. Surely he's a bit before that. He lives in the 1800s, didn't he? Maybe 1850, 1890, something. I checked it out. He wrote that in 1710, 400 years ago. And he was the premier Bible teacher of that era and has remained so. So when people don't interpret scripture correctly, and you find that a woman is trodden upon, you find that she's not loved, or a situation where the woman is dominating the man as opposed to the man putting her down under his feet, that's not true. That's not it's scripture. Scripture is that the woman was made from the rib at the side to be near his heart, to be beloved, to be protected. And that was written, what, over 2,000 years ago?
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
You know, This is what the Bible says, and that's why we teach it. Okay. So I just love the Bible and its teaching. If you want to know what the truth is for today, read the Bible. You read it. Okay, now let's move on. Let's look at verse 20 because time is moving. It says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." Chris, you want to say a little bit of something about this?
Yes. I think children are very precious in a family. That just as parents have to obey the Lord, children obey the parents, and the parents love them, and children obey because it's good for them. It's the best thing that they can do. Their parents know them through and through. They love them. And just as we obey Jesus because he loves us, children, we have to obey our parents because they love us, they protect us, and they're just there for us to be loved and just to be cared for.
I think has brought us on to the final verse, which says, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged.
Yes.
And I think if we follow what we've just been talking about, that we are example children, we're mindful to catch them doing something good, give them a compliment. And I always thought, I wasn't raising boys, I was raising young men who are going to be men.
Yeah.
And generally, I said to them, can you do something? Or we need such and such done. And my guys have grown up polite, disciplined people who I think are examples. Just very quickly, because we need to wind up now. We've gone a little bit over time, but what does these verses mean for the single person? The person who's left the family home, is not yet living in a family of their own, but they engage with the world themselves, you know. What do these verses have? What would you say? Or what we've mentioned so far, or maybe add to it?
I think there are principles there that people who aren't married can follow, because there's still thing in all those verses, there is respect, there's personal responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, in the same way that a husband or a wife has personal responsibility, each of them has a personal responsibility. I think that's true.
Yeah.
As a single person too. And that, you know, God gives us a way to live that we can follow that is very much about who we are in him and giving an example for him. And maybe also, I suppose, you know, I mean, some of the things we've said are that when Paul was talking about wives and husbands, he was saying things that were quite radical. And actually, that could also be true for people who are not married too, that actually you can be something that's unique because that's who God has created you to be. Mm. And that's fine, you know, that actually you're still an example because of who you are. By following them, practicing those principles, you know.
Yeah, lovely. It's been great talking together. Thank you so much for sharing with us, Chris, Carlton, Mavis. I have to say goodbye to everybody, and may the word of God richly dwell within you. Amen.